Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode on Everyday Truth in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Really talking about a big theme in this chapter. Jeremy back with us again today. Talking about how God uses people to help people. And I want you just for a moment, my friends, to think about the people whom God has used most effectively in your life. And the people that he's used most effectively in your life many times are not famous people. They're not people that are big names necessarily. But the people that God uses in our life are people that are authentic, people that we trust. And the Apostle Paul is helping the Thessalonian believers to see that's why God used them, Paul and Silas and Timothy. And he gives us, Jeremy, today a couple really poignant examples of what it means to be an authentic minister of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to unpack these examples. So look at verse 8. Of our text, if you're following along in a Bible. If you're not, if you're driving, please don't follow along in your Bible. Just keep your eye on the road. But to listen carefully to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, actually in verse 7, where the Apostle Paul said, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." So he uses in verse 7, Jeremy, the illustration of a nurse. And of course, in modern language, we think of a nurse as somebody in the hospital that gives us a shot. But that's not the image here. The image here is a nursing mother. So Paul said, "We were gentle as a nursing mother, you know, in sharing with you and in helping you with the gospel." Talk about that.
I can talk about this really well. We have five children, and my youngest daughter right now is about a year and a half. And a mother, you think about the mother, and he's going to talk about a father in a second as well, but a mother cares for that child. She carries that child. She feeds that child. Mothers just have this instinct. As a man, you have to, like, even though I love my kids, you have to make yourself, "Oh, I better pick up the kid. You know, I better spend some time with the kid." But the mother, it's just this natural desire to want to see this child cared for and looked after. You know, the baby cries, she's straight away. And what an image of the Apostle Paul saying, "You know what, I brought this message to you, but I was also like a mother with a little baby. You know, I was taking time, I was there."
Think about it, Jeremy, from the baby's perspective, okay? So from a baby's perspective, the baby is entirely dependent upon the mother.
Entirely.
I mean, it offers the mother nothing.
Yeah.
It's not helping with the chores. It's not communicating effectively. It's waking up at the most inconvenient times. And yet the care and the concern of the mother, Paul said, that's what it took in discipling young believers. They're selfish. They're inconvenient.
They're not useful.
They're not useful. And yet that was our attitude toward you. What a thought.
What a thought, for especially for those of us who've been in ministry a long time, to realize that as you deal with different people, as you deal with new believers, it requires cherishing. Like, this person's going to require a different kind of attention from you, a different kind of care from you than those who are growing and maturing. And that can be difficult when you have, you know, grown believers amongst little babies that need cherishing. Because what happens with my older children is they turn around and say, "Well, why are you spending so much time with the baby? Mm. Why does the baby get your first attention? Why are you chasing off to feed the baby?" Well, because, you know, the baby's going to need that constant care and attention.
I like how he says in the next verse, I was affectionately desirous. So he speaks about his emotion in that sense. But we were willing, So there's a matter of a decision. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. So you think about the difference that we make in the lives of people is not just a transactional difference. And what I mean by transactional, sometimes we view the ministry simply as dispensing information. So, hey, we gave you the gospel. We gave you this discipleship curriculum. We gave you these services that you can attend. We gave you the opportunity to sign up for this program. I mean, what's your problem? And the Apostle Paul said, no. It wasn't just about the transaction that I was somehow dispensing this message only. No, we gave you our own souls. We were willing to give you ourselves. It reminds me of the Macedonian believers in 2 Corinthians 8, where the Apostle Paul said, they didn't just want to give us an offering for the poor saints at Jerusalem. They were willing of their own selves to give of their own selves. That's the key to discipleship. It's a relational, not merely a transactional situation.
And I think you just said it as you started the talk, talking about, think about the people that have made an impact in your life, that have helped you in your life. And it's not just those who had great messages, who spoke in such ways, but it's those who are willing to give of their soul. You know, the mothers in the nursery, you know, maybe that Sunday school teacher, that friend at work, that mother who continually prayed for you, that father. It's someone who was willing to give of themselves, not just giving of the message. And I think that really, you know, when we come back to what God is calling us to do, whether on the mission field or wherever God's placed you, He's called you to not only give a message, but give of yourself as well, just as He gave of Himself for us.
So He used the example of a nursing mother in verse 7, but then I love what He says in verse 9, where the Bible says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." So the Apostle Paul uses the example of that nursing mother, but he said, listen, as a laborer in the vineyard, as a laborer in this field, we labored night and day to bring you the gospel. I think what he meant by that, Jeremy, is that, yes, there's the labor of ministry. And I can picture the Apostle Paul reasoning in the synagogue, as he did in Acts 17. That's what this is referring to. Or in the house of Jason, doing individual Bible study, day after day, discipling people. But then, hey, someone's got to pay the bills. He's not passing the offering plate. He understands that as new believers, they're not even going to get the concept of remunerating the preacher. So what does he do? He makes tents. So he's works a side job while he's doing the main job. So he just never takes any time off. And that work was an example of his authenticity and his love.
And I imagine him sitting there making these tents and the attitude that can very easily come upon all of us when we get in those situations is you're thinking, what am I doing? I'm the great Apostle Paul. I know he didn't think like this, but thinking I should be giving the message out. But he's turning around saying, no, this is part of it. Me making this tent right now is part of me sharing the message to these people. And that's where he says, we gave of ourselves as well. We gave everything. We didn't just come and give you a message, but it took all of this to produce this in your lives.
And I like what you just said, because he may have been thinking as he's making the tent, man, this is such a waste of time. Oh, I could be preaching the gospel. Little did he know, though, that because he was making that tent, he was buying respect in the mind of the people. The people were looking at it saying, we respect that guy. He's the real deal. He's not like these other charlatans that come to town. This guy is real. And then I think when he went to Corinth and did the same thing, he made tents. It was in making tents that he had his best success, his two greatest converts, Priscilla and Aquila, not at the synagogue, but in a co-laboring, quote-unquote, secular job, making tents. That's where he made that difference.
And it built an incredible bond that proved to be a blessing for years and years not just in his own personal life, but in the ministry that God had placed him.
So he said, we will not be chargeable unto any of you. So is it wrong then for a pastor to be remunerated?
Not at all.
But for a new church plant where people were not even church members, they didn't know the first thing about the gospel, Paul didn't lead with that.
Yeah.
There are certain Bible truths that they are truths, but you don't lead with them. You don't lead starting a church by saying, okay, we're going to preach a series on tithing. We're going to preach a series on, you know, how do you compensate a pastor? No, there's a time for that. But people can receive truth at different levels of maturity. You don't feed a baby a steak.
Mm. And you have to care for it constantly. Constantly care. We just real quickly, we went into a village once and we were the guest of honors. They were doing this big opening of this church building and it came time to kill a cow. We joined them to go and kill this cow. And, you know, we just had machete. I'm not going to go into details, but it was a lot of work. And as we brought back the meat back into the village, people were shocked and even made this statement. They mustn't be men of God because men of God don't work like that. They sit up in that seat and they're served by other people. And it opened up a door into people's hearts where they were saying, well, who are these people? Why were they willing to do this when we should have been serving them? And you know, the Apostle Paul saying, again, it's about the message that God's given me. And I was willing to go through this, to do this so that you got the message and didn't get anything else outside of that.
It's the counterintuitive message of Christ, who took a towel and girded himself and washed the feet of the disciples, insofar that Peter said, no, who does this? Leaders don't do, I need to wash your, no, if you're going to wash me, then wash all of me. He just couldn't figure that thing out. He was trying to come up with some scenario to self-justify why Jesus was washing his feet. It's so counter to our culture that it shocks them and it causes them to pay close attention. What God is this that will serve me? What man of God is this that would serve me? And that became a huge, large print font for the message of Paul to these people.
And we're so willing to give the message, but yet a lot of times hold back our souls in investing in those people. And I think that's, you know, Paul's getting across here. It's not just about the message that you're sharing. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be your life. That you invest.
And what a beautiful balance too. And maybe we can end with this thought, my friends, and the balance of the message and your testimony. They both. I know some people that make such a big deal about, well, we just need to serve people and do good to them. And that's true. Work hard. Absolutely. But at some point, you got to open your mouth. Mm. At some point, you got to tell them the life-changing news of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, just opening your mouth and telling them the life-changing message of Jesus Christ without serving and loving and showing some authentic self-responsibility, that is equally going to damage the message. So they must go together. And the Apostle Paul is showing us that great balance of work and love, of talking and doing, of lifestyle evangelism and confrontational evangelism, how they perfectly balance to see lives changed for the glory of God, for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, I don't know who you're facing today, for whom you're praying today, but I do know this, being real, being authentic, opening your mouth at strategic moments, caring for people, it will make a difference. The Apostle Paul said to them in Thessalonica, this is how God made a difference in you. God uses people to bless people. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for joining us for yet another episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.